Ta-ta.
Now the patriarchy is dead, and we killed it. If you identify as a woman, femme, trans, or non-binary, CITR wants you on the air. You can talk about literally whatever you want as long as you care about it. No worries if you have no experience, we'll train you in everything you need to know. Come by CITR and say hi.
Hey. Hi. Hello.
From 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Friday to help us never play Led Zeppelin on CITR 101.9 FM ever again. I could be you.
Whoa!
With you.
Woke up today and the sun was shining. I said, "Miss the sun, where have you been?" He told me, "Sorry, dear, I had to go away, but never have no fear. I'm always back again. I got to show you the dark, so you can really feel the light, you know." I can't lie, I need you, Mr. Sun.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to Word on the Street on CITR 101.9 FM right after
Nardwar, the human serviettes. Show, he's right there.
He's still there. I'm your host, Isaac, and we got a lot of people in here today. We're broadcasting live from the unceded territory of the Musqueam people, and we just played a couple songs. The first song we played was a song by Vegan, who does some work with Frank Ocean, who produced on Blonde and Endless. I really like his new album, Only Diamonds Cut Diamonds. That's what I've been listening to this week. And I'm just going to start on my right. And we're going to go around with all 10 of you, I think. So there's 11 of us in here right now. And just say, what are you listening to this week? And say your name. Don't be shy. So let's start with Rain.
Hi, I'm Rain. This week, I've been listening to the album Chelsea Girl a lot by Nico of the Velvet Underground.
Hi, I'm Magali. This week I've been listening to kind of like a weird mix of stuff. Mostly some Peel Sessions from John Peel from the BBC. Just a lot of the Smiths, Orange Juice, Galaxy 500 live sessions.
Hey, I'm Lucy. My Discover Weekly playlist this week decided that I was going to be really into Aussie music again. So I've been listening to Matt Corby and some like Meg Mac, that kind of stuff. It's happening.
Hi, I'm Ines. This week I've been listening to a lot of New Order. Try and stay away from Joy Division because it can get you down. So because I went to Peter Hook and the Light, so founding member of New Order, the beginning of last week. So kind of been obsessed with New Order right now.
Hey, it's Jack. This week I've been listening to a lot of The Game actually. I've been listening to his new song with Anderson .Paak. It's smooth. It's like that early 2000s West Coast rap. It's really nice. So yeah, a lot of underground or G-funk, if you will.
I don't know why that was funny.
Okay, hello.
Go ahead.
My name's Finn, and this week I've been listening to Robert Glasper's new mixtape and also Seafood Sam's new album, Delor Velour. It's very good.
Hello, my name is Gabe. I listen to Michael Kiwanuka's album, Kiwanuka, and the best track is track 7 called Living in Denial.
Yes.
And you'll be living in denial if you deny yourself the pleasure of living in this 51-minute self-titled album by Kiwanuka Michael called Kiwanuka.
Okay. I'm Helena. I've been listening to
Antoha MC.
Oh, yeah.
Canon showed me them yesterday.
Yeah.
Finn by Sid. Just a lot of old stuff. It's Blitz, Abbey Road, Magical Mystery Tour, The Strokes stuff, Submarine soundtrack, and also some podcasts.
Hello, my name is Olivia. Honestly, I've had a long week. I've been listening mostly to Lost Wisdom Part 2, the Mount Eerie and Julia Doyron album. And yeah, it's been depressing, but very good.
On a similar note, hi, my name's Valley, and I've been listening to a lot of Matt Mason, which kind of leads us into Song of the Week. So Matt Mason was a musician that I discovered a few years ago, and it was one of those rare gems where you're on YouTube and you just kind of click on random songs. And I discovered Matt Mason and like fell in love with his music just off the bat. And I'm one of those people who isn't always like very keen on sharing my music, because then I'm like, someone else is going to start listening and then it's not going to be mine anymore. But I am going to share.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're so welcome. Really great musician, big inspiration to me in my music, but also like in my lyric writing, and just great, great sounds. And he does this thing where he'll release an album and then he'll release like a stripped version of the album. So it's all very acoustic and very soft and very beautiful. So the song that I decided to choose from this album, so it's actually the title track. So that's not true. That's not the song that I chose. The album is called Bank on a Funeral, and this is the stripped version, and the song is called Dancing After Death, and it's a beautiful song, and I hope you enjoy.
Okay, we'll be back right after this song and probably another one, and we're going to talk about a few more things today. We'll have an album analysis of the week. We'll have a concert of the week, a gem of the week. Also, we're going to talk a little about how that guy from Toronto didn't have a good time at that other guy's festival. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
At camp. Yeah, he had a bad time at camp. Yeah. He got bullied a little bit. So we'll be back in a few minutes. Enjoy this song.
Do I know better than this? You're a word that I can't forget. Though the thought rattles my brain, will you fold or will you remain? If I don't get better than this man in my skin, if I don't get better than this man in my skin, if I let go, would you hold on? Would we fly? Is it safer if we just say that we tried? Are we laughing at the danger? Are we dancing after as the sun waits to eclipse, and my taste teases my lips, I'm too tired to wrestle with it. Will we burn? If I let go,
Time to go, you left me all on my own.
Don't play with me, you broke my heart, but I'm also so obsessed with you. I don't know if I love you, I don't know if I hate you. Baby, it's time to get out my way, get out my life. I'm so sick of you just playing games. I'm pretty sure I hate you, I'm pretty sure I love you.
You gon' make me take my passion, put it to the side. You was a lady I love, but you ruined my life. But you were so pretty that I didn't put up a fight. But you were so pretty and I just knew one right, knew one right, yeah. I've been seeing shit in HD. All of this shit, it just ain't me. You been saying that you hate me and taking it back and can't face me. I roll the blunt just to face it and put the bullshit to the side. Made a roller coaster, I'm a mattress. How you take a nigga for a fucking ride? But trying to put it in the past, saying that it's old news. Can't stand the thought of your ass, deleted your old news. Make sure you was all, didn't wanna leave you in the cold, boo. I think of the time that we spent, it leave me feeling so foolish, so foolish.
But trying to put it in the past, saying it's so news. Can't stand it, thought of your ass, deleted your old news. Make sure you was all, didn't wanna leave you in the cold, boo. I think of the time that we spent, it leave me feeling so foolish, so foolish.
Don't play with me, you broke my heart, but I'm also so obsessed with you. I don't know if I love you, I don't know if I hate you. Baby, it's time to get out my way, get out my life. I'm so sick of you just playing games. I'm pretty sure I hate you, I'm pretty sure I love you.
Okay, so for album analysis of the week, I'm going to talk about one of my favorite and one of my most notable albums from earlier this year is Berkeley's on Fire by Oakland-based band Swimmers. Made up of the Becker brothers, Cole and Max, Joey Armstrong on the drums, and Samuel on the bass. And like expanding from their 2016 like debut, Drive North, which is much more of a surf punk, laid back, California-esque album, which they released on their own label, Uncool Records. Their newest album, Berkeley's on Fire, comes through with much more of like a punchier, punk like experimentation type album. It flips through like hip-hop beats on the last track, Steve Got Robbed, acoustic softness on Bad Allergies, IKEA Date, and wall of sound grunge guitars and Hellboy. The mixture of the explicitly political on songs such as Lose, Lose, Lose to Cole's personal introspection on April in Houston. Like, in music, we repeatedly hear about bands growing up and evolving, and I feel like this album is a solid example of that. You can hear, like, elements of Joe Strummer from The Clash and Britpunk on the album's title track, Berkeley's on Fire, which is about the clashes at the University of Berkeley between neo-Nazis and protesters. Cole screams, "Too many motherfuckers confusing this freedom of speech with swastikas," followed by a direct call-out from Max to Milo Yiannopoulos, who, if people don't know, he's, like, a guy with white supremacist ties, which is kind of, like, backdrop to, like, a lot of thunderous drumming. And so I think with Berkeley's on Fire being, like, the lead single off the album and the album name, it's quite fair to say that, like, they're very clear about themselves and their sound. And just, like, because there's, like, some sad news also I want to intro that, like, I kind of grew up with this band and I went to their first show by myself at the Hollywood Palladium. And so I just want to say it's extremely sad to note that Max Becker, while he was driving east to Denver, like, their tour van hit black ice. And it kind of, like, the tour van lost control. So Max Becker has, like, traumatic brain injury. So they canceled all future shows, including their one here at the Rickshaw. So I just want to say, like, if this is, like, Swimmers, like, as a band's last stamp on music, I would definitely say it's one to be proud of. And for the next trap coming up, in an interview this summer with Kerrang!, Cole talked about the song Lose, 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 and he said, "It's not always obvious that the political climate is affecting your life personally, and it can happen in funny ways, like us getting shorter with each other. But you feel a weight inside you like a big black cloud, and we wanted to talk about how that works in your psyche." So yeah, this song is coming up next. It's Lose, Lose, Lose off Berkeley's on Fire.
A round of applause. Thank you for that. So this is Lose, Lose, Lose. And after this, we'll play a couple more songs and we'll have a couple more of our weekly segments. You're listening to Word on the Street.
Cause I know I can fuck it up faster. Oh my, my, I don't saw it, but things yeah, I saw it. Telling you, telling you, revival. Oh my, my, I don't call me Patricia anymore. I know, I swore, if I got pussy one more time, I'd lose my mind, I'd lose my mind. I swore. Keep it up,
I swore if I got pushed in one more time, I'd lose my mind. I'd lose my.
Police material and Discorder.
It's a local independent music magazine from CITR.
Which means that we can print whatever we heckin' want.
Album and live show reviews, interviews with artists, and sweet illustrations grace our pages.
And even you, listener, can contribute. Just visit CITR.ca/Discorder/contribute. You can grab it around town or read it at Discorder.ca. Forever local and forever free.
Magazine from CITR has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke you every day. Pick up a copy around Vancouver or with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
All right, I'm gonna do it.
It for you. Why don't I do it for you? Why won't you do it for me? When all I do is for you. They wanna see us alone. They wanna see us, wanna see us apart. They wanna see us, wanna see us alone. They wanna see us apart. And I just want to feel your love. And try, but I get overwhelmed when you're gone. I have no one to tell. They're waiting, they're watching. They're watching us, they're waiting and hoping I'm not enough.
Hello. So that was FKA Twigs, Cellophane, off her new album.
it's okay. Go ahead, Finn.
Yeah. So I saw FKA Twigs at the Vogue Theater on November 2nd. And I have to say, it was like one of the best put together shows that I've ever seen. Like, it was, the whole production was incredible. And so, like, it wasn't just like a concert, because there was so many other aspects that went into it. Like, it was more of like a performance art showcase. Because she is an incredible singer, but also an incredible dancer. And she was backed up by four, like, really, really talented dancers as well, and then a band as well. And so, like, it started off with just her alone on the stage, and she did, like, a tap dancing piece, and then she, like, disappeared behind a curtain, and she had changed outfits, and then, like, started singing, and then, like, so, like, she changed outfits 5 or 6 times throughout the concert. Whoa. And what? And each time she changed it, ushered in a new movement or like new feel to the show, and like throughout the show, like different aspects or elements kept being brought in. Like, there's one point where she brought on like a sword, and she was like, yeah, she's very awesome. Talented. And so the whole thing was a big showcase of like how multifaceted and how multi-talented she is as an artist. And it was just like a very, I don't know, overall, it's just like a really well put together production.
Where is she from?
She's from England, I believe.
Okay. And then, Rain wanted to say something?
I would also like to add that she smells really good.
She does.
Finn was in the third row, and even from the third row, you could smell her essence.
What does she smell like?
Patchouli oil.
Patchouli oil.
Yeah. Wait, what does that smell like? I'm not sure what that is.
Yeah, what is it?
No, but like, you know. I know. I don't think.
It's kind of like a massage.
A massage?
It's like what hippies smell like, but like hippies? In a good way. Hippies.
Like,
hippies.
Yeah.
Like hippie, I know, smells dirty.
Then there you go.
Does it smell like incense? Like,
yeah, it's like incense. Yeah, it's like herbal.
Are you sure you're not talking about marijuana?
wait, so she was dank. She
was.
Pardon me?
Anyway,
okay,
she
to the listeners
really
out there, she smelled like peace and harmony
and
in
that's
a diffuser.
It.
Okay, well, thank you, Finn and Rain, for your little take on that. Now we got a new member.
Woo!
New member for We're on the Street. And what are you going to talk about today? And what's your name?
Hi, I'm going to talk about Latin music made by female artists from Latin America, and my name is Magali. Thanks for having me, everyone. Obviously, judging by me being like, oh, is this me? I don't quite know how things work here yet, but bear with me. I'm going to do my best to hopefully introduce you to some cool music. Okay, so the song that I picked for today is a song by Rosalía, or La Rosalía, and it's called Que No Salga La Luna, Capítulo 2, Boda. So essentially what that means in English is, it's kind of archaic a little bit. It's like, may the moon not come out, episode 2, wedding. Okay.
Wait.
Yeah. Actually, that's my slam poetry. Thank you. No. But so, La Rosalía is an artist from Spain who's doing kind of like something that I think most people almost thought impossible. She's revitalizing flamenco in a really cool way that involves modern artists from all over the world, like James Blake, J Balvin, Bad Bunny. Mm-hmm. To kind of make this really cool sound that is new, but also really is a tribute to her roots and much of Spain's roots in flamenco. So she gets a lot of experience in her music from greats in flamenco, like Camarón de la Isla, from Loli y Manuel, like a lot of really important artists. And she also kind of follows this like trailblazing path that female artists from, I don't know, probably, I mean, way back when, who kind of started to reclaim a lot of male-dominated music traditions and kind of bring them back to the female. So, for example, the reason I picked this for my gem was because my family's from Argentina, and one of the most important indigenous artists, or artists in general, from Argentina is a woman named Mercedes Sosa. She was one of the first indigenous women to come out and sing about injustices done towards indigenous people in South America, but especially in Argentina. And La Rosalía focuses on flamenco, but other artists who are kind of in the same realm as La Rosalía, kind of like Natalia Lafourcade, pay tribute to really, you know, very important folklore songs like that of Mercedes Sosa. So, also another thing that I wanted to touch on quickly was that La Rosalía is really young. She's like 26 years old. She writes a lot of her music. She produces a lot of her music. She's the one who organizes all of her tours, according to her interviews. And in her songs, she will pay tribute to the greats. And she'll also do analyses that she posts on social media talking about the importance of what she's singing about and who inspired her to sing it. So, yeah, without further ado, that's the song that I picked, Que Salga la Luna.
Doesn't seem like your first time. Pretty good. Not too bad.
Thanks.
So, one more time, what song are we playing?
Oh, Que No Salga la Luna, Capítulo 2, Boda.
You're listening to We're on the Street. We'll be right back.
Suponga que no levante la voz,
que no lo escuche la novia,
que no salga la luna, que no tiene pa' qué, no tiene pa' qué, no tiene pa' qué.
Con tus ojitos prima,
que
yo
no
me alumbraré,
que no tiene pa' qué, no tiene pa' qué, no tiene pa' qué.
Con tus ojitos prima,
cómo brilla. Madre mía, qué guapo. Diamantes, así que con diamante me gusta.
Qué bonita está mi novia.
Por mí se me
por su beso. Si hay alguien que aquí se oponga, que no levante la voz. Que no lo escuche la novia.
Que no salga la luna.
No.
Que no tiene pa' qué, no tiene pa' qué, no tiene pa' qué.
Con tus ojitos, prima.
Que no salga la luna.
Que no.
Que no tiene pa' qué, no tiene pa' qué, no tiene pa' qué.
Con tus ojitos, prima.
Cries makes me want to cry too. It's sad and it's funny to see muscle men feel blue. They're meant to be so tough, but even sometimes they've had enough.
Zero love on the courts, sporting old short shorts and icy coach in hockey. Getting knocked out like Rocky, swing in the ring. Don't tell me there's no such thing as a sensitive jock. Tears in a headlock, a sensitive jock. Tears in a headlock, a sensitive jock. Tears in a headlock. Zero love on the court, sporting old short shorts, a baseball to the face, a tooth.
Hello. Hello, we're back. Gabe.
Hello.
Oh, hey.
I don't have it all queued up.
Oh, okay. So what happened to you?
Well, I need to get to the...
Okay. Do you want me to play the... Do you want me to find the clip?
Okay. I found the scrolling feature on my phone. May someone else talk for 2 minutes while I get my next thing set up?
You know when exactly on this video when they say what you said, right?
Yes. It's it's the ending of... Which video are you talking about? My video, your video. We're both on air right now talking for the listeners.
The one that, the people that copied you, what minute is it?
I sent it, I'm going
to... Did you say 10:53?
I think it was 10:53.
Okay, I'm gonna play this quickly.
Okay.
For all of our listeners out there. This is We're on the Street, so this is just about Tyler Creator's album, Igor, and an analysis, and how pretty much Gabe got ripped off. So, so listen to this, and then Gabe's going to play you his version from about a month ago or so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go.
His ally, his assistant, Igor. Igor tells a fantastic story about love and heartbreak. But don't stop here. Start finishing more stories with Audible, drawing from African...
Okay, sorry about that. Sorry. Wait. Okay, so...
So that if we could play like that... Did you hear
I'm
how...
I'm going to give a bit further back.
A bit further ahead.
A bit further ahead. Says. Here, I'm just gonna play it from...
So if we played at 10:43, or...
I'm just gonna bring it in right...
...settle for just being friends. But exactly what he runs from, he ends up chasing. He spends the final tracks of the album chasing and choosing friendship as his only alternative to staying connected to this love, choosing the role of his companion, his ally, his assistant, Igor.
Okay,
how you're smart.
On. Yeah.
If only there was a UBC student who a month ago said this.
A sidekick to their monster, a trapped under their emotional leverage, a Frankenstein's Igor of sorts.
Wow. Good on them. All I want to say, I picked up on the Igor reference before them. This is a video titled, Why the Genius of Igor? Well, you know what? You can go onto our CITR website when it's back online. It's offline right now. You can find that episode when I talked about Igor. I think it was the week of October.
Just listen to all of our October episodes.
Listen to all of our October episodes. It was a good month. All I'm saying is I'm smarter than YouTube. The end.
Okay.
But
so,
in Tyler, the Creator news, yes. Something else happened in Tyler, the Creator's life, besides just meeting Nardwar at
yeah.
Vegas.
And it, yeah.
And beating Nardwar. Dude.
Sort of.
His hat off. Dude, I felt bad. I was like, Nard, get out of there.
No, he was
dude,
very,
dude. He was
yeah, so, okay.
Sorry.
It's okay. It's November, man. It's all right.
It's November, yeah. Man.
So, you probably heard by now, if you're listening, that Drake pretty much got booed off the Flognaw stage. And Drake was this surprised guest.
Yeah, they didn't
the
tell people
marks.
Who was going to be headlining.
By the way, Lil Uzi Vert and A$AP Rocky were also surprised guests, but I don't think anybody really said anything
yeah.
about that. Yeah.
Oh.
And I would be pretty.
Could you?
I would be pretty happy if I saw Lil Uzi.
Yeah, that'd be
to
crazy.
Be honest. But anyway, Drake got booed off. I heard. Well, Finn, you had a point about this. One of your friends was at Flognaw.
They were there.
And you want? I want to hear from that. What did they say about that?
Well, I talked briefly to him about it, and he said basically that where he was standing, it wasn't the whole audience that was booing Drake. It was like. He said he thought it was only the VIP section, so he was saying that like it wasn't a general consensus to boo off Drake and that Drake didn't deserve it, but like there was a large or big enough group that was booing him that caused him to leave.
Yeah, I heard the same.
Right.
Okay.
No. Wait. So yes.
I heard the same from my friend because she was also there.
Okay.
And she was like, yeah, I didn't realize people were booing him off, and when he left the stage, she got really confused because she couldn't hear people booing him. At all.
Oh.
And she found out like from everyone talking about it on Twitter and stuff. She was just like lost.
Yeah, so that's like my biggest issue with okay. I don't actually think Drake is like okay, he has the right to do whatever he wants and like get off the stage. But the thing is, since it wasn't like the majority of the crowd, and then a lot of people were just like they didn't even know that what it was happening. It was just a small group that was very vocal. Why didn't Drake just tell them to screw off? And like because, like, I know everybody was there. It was like, oh, it's going to be Frank. It's going to be Frank. It's not going
to
be Frank. Like, everybody,
to be
like,
Frank.
You shouldn't go in with an expectation of who it's going to be. Like, that was on them.
Yeah.
But I still don't understand why Drake just left. That's my biggest thing.
Well, I think it's, like, you talked about how, like, she didn't know what was going on. And your friend said it wasn't the large majority. It was just the people in the VIP section.
They're probably all in the front.
So that if you're in the VIP section, you're in the front.
Yeah.
So for Drake, the only people he can hear
that's
are
true.
The people in the front. So he thinks he's got all these lights shining on him, so he can only see 20 rows deep.
That's true.
And if all those 20 rows are yelling at him to get off the stage.
That's true.
Like, that's, I would feel the pressure to cut my set short because it seems like everyone wants me out of there.
Did he play anything?
I don't even know how many songs I'm going to get in.
Or something,
and then he
really
was like,
much.
I can keep going. Like, I'm here for you. And everyone was like, boo. And he was like, I peace.
They were like, get off the stage.
But
even like Tyler then tweeted about it. And he was like, yeah, it's like a mob mentality and cancel culture in real life. And honestly, like, I agree. I think that it's a lot of, like, I don't want to say it's like a lot of those like, teenagers who are like, I'm cool and I know what music is and I'm better than everyone and my music taste is better than everyone.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
basically.
Exactly.
But it's like when you're a part of a group, and that's like not to compare it to like big things in history, but that's what's happened like throughout time, is that one person will say something, and then like if a group is saying something and you're the only odd one out in a group, you'll end up like probably doing and saying the same thing. So I think that's what it was. It was like just enough of the crowd was booing Drake that then people just kind of copied and like joined in.
Yeah, I remember he also tweeted something like he also tweeted something like, that's not cool because it reflects really badly on me also, like as the organizer. And I thought that was like the strongest point, just because they're all there, like, yeah, they bought tickets and they gave him money, but like they are like, y'all represented me and flogged to my guests and made us look so entitled and trash. And I thought that's really true. Like, even though they paid to be there, they're still guests, like, for his event. And I'm sure that he never prepared Drake for that kind of response. So, yeah, it's not cool. Even though, like, even he admitted it was kind of funny. But, like, we can all laugh at it, but in the end, like, it's not nice.
Yeah, he did, like, he tweeted something about how he was really, like, embarrassed of his fan base. And I saw, like, somebody said something really interesting about that, which is that, like, when Tyler started out, like, he kind of really built a fan base off of this whole, like we hate the status quo, like, we hate mainstream artists, like, we're not like them, like, we're underground, like, we're doing what they don't want to do. And that's kind of what built up his fan base. And then as he kind of grew in popularity, he almost came to like be what he originally hated. So now, like, a lot of people think he's at kind of a weird place with his fan base right now, because he kind of became what he started off making fun of. And I think like the Flogna thing was like kind of the, like, you know, the culmination of that. Like, it was like him with all of his like very mainstream, like the people that he is now on the same level as, like Drake and these very big mainstream artists, and then all of the people who consider themselves like real Tyler fans thought that like they were too good for that.
But also, like, yeah, I get it, because most of his fans are probably, you know, like high
babies.
School babies.
Children.
Exactly. Yeah, we're the boomers. They're like, they're like 15, 14, 13. Like, they're at that age where he would, like, they all have the same mentality, because Tyler was just making music when, you know, he was like an edgy teenager. And like, so he attracts edgy teenagers. But with his new music, I think, you know, he's obviously gained a lot more popularity because of like his growth and his maturity. And it's like, you know, like, teens are going to be teens. Like, you know, they're going to still be edgy no matter what generation we're in. But it is kind of sad that they couldn't really put that past them. Like, they couldn't just acknowledge that, you know, yeah, he was this person and we identified a lot with who he used to be, but now he's different and actually an adult and has responsibilities and maturity and actually wants to, you know, okay, goodbye.
Hey, what? No, you can, what?
You can
keep going.
I don't even remember what I was saying.
Okay, well, we do have...
It's okay.
We got 3 minutes. I would just say, I don't like Drake. However, he is a talented artist. He does know how to perform and how to entertain. And I think, even though when I first saw this, I thought it was really funny. Like, I was laughing at
Drake. I still think it's really funny.
Yeah. Like, you're lying if you're not.
I think it was very funny. I don't think that he deserves it exactly. And I do think the audience is quite entitled to have that reaction, even if it was just a fraction of the audience. And Drake reacted very well. He said after, you know, oh, I'm booked for the next decade at Flogna, which I think he's just being sarcastic, but hats off to him for just taking it easy, you know, because it's not so simple being one of the biggest artists in the world. And I don't think Drake makes sense with a festival that is specifically catered for such niche acts.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I thought also.
Every single act on that lineup, on that, you know, the bill, is there because that demographic likes all those for individual reasons. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure what Tyler was thinking, because if it wasn't a Michael Jackson hologram, Frank Ocean, or an Odd Future reunion, it wasn't going to hold up to those question marks. Yeah.
See, it doesn't make sense for it to be an Odd Future reunion, because pretty much all of Odd Future is already there every year.
That's true.
Like, but if they imagine if they performed Oldie together.
So that'd be sick.
That's worthy of question marks.
Yeah.
Right? And obviously, Frank was the biggest, you know, suspicion with that.
Yeah.
If it wasn't one of those two, I'm just confused what it would have been.
Yeah, I don't understand the Drake pick. It doesn't make sense. The demographic isn't right. And also just like there's, but it's also, if I find it weird that like Drake of all people got booed off. Actually, no, that's not true. I understand why Drake got booed off stage. I just don't understand why any other big names that don't really fit with the genre haven't been booed off before. Because like Lil Wayne was there when I went there. Like Lil Wayne doesn't make any sense for this generation or like that crowd.
They knew Lil Wayne was going to be there.
Right? Well, they did know it.
Was he a surprise act?
No, he wasn't a surprise act.
Oh, okay.
So, but like, yeah. So to be fair, they did know. But like, a lot of the time, Tyler brings in artists that he wants to listen to.
Yeah.
It's not,
yeah.
It doesn't matter what the demographic wants. Like, he'll bring in Pharrell and like Kanye and stuff like that. But it's not because people want it. Yeah.
Maybe we'll get into this next week a bit more. We don't know exactly what we're doing next week, but we'll be back next week from 5 to 6. Thanks for listening to Worldland Street. I have 15 seconds. It was a great show. Take care this November. See you next week.
Bye.
Goodbye.
See you.
Bye. Bye.